Okay, my truck talked to myself today with the subject of how can I solve a problem for someone else. This is thanks to Margaret Lynch, who is a business coach that I listen to. Margaret told her own story of having a dead-end job and but great passion for something on the side, a healing modality, and she would talk to people in network and never really got very far, never really made much money and was losing hope. Her dead-end job was that of an engineer, and finally when she applied engineering mindset to her business, it took off. And her engineering mindset was, how do you solve the problem? How do you solve a problem for someone else? She applied it to her healing modality in the area of EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. You may have heard of the tapping stuff. You tap on pressure points and think of certain things and it dissolves emotional baggage. Pretty cool technique. I think I mentioned that technique in the Musician's Health section of the site. Anyways, that aside, I'm wondering how I can solve problems for other people in the violin world, which is a niche, I understand. That's what I can do. So I can teach lessons all day till the cows come home, and kind of, who cares? Maybe a few people care, but not a lot of people, maybe because I'm not addressing the problems that people have more directly. I think I've built a nice site, a nice membership site with a great amount of good lessons, a couple hundred lessons or more. Everything seems to be working. I'm learning how to promote it. And I wonder if I could start over. If I was going to start over, I probably wouldn't have done a membership site. I would have started with essential lessons, just sold them on a DVD or as a download or something. I'm in a position to do that now, too. It's almost like I can do a reboot and keep what I've done as well. Maybe even mine from it and take some of the work I've done and repackage it so that it be in materials that be even more effective for people. So what are some of the problems I know firsthand in the violin world that I can help solve? One of them is, of course, the big overview is what the site is all about, how to sit in with a band. But that doesn't frame the problem. I think people need to be able to picture, even if it's not themselves, someone else in the problem. So I need to be a better storyteller, maybe. So I could tell a story about the classically trained violinist who is coming from a rehearsal, and their friend, their best friend, says, implores them to stop at a coffee shop where there happens to be some live music going on. Now, this classically trained violinist probably has a nice fiddle that they take pride in owning, and probably not cheap. Maybe in at least $10,000 range if you're really a pro. And they don't want to leave it in the car. Maybe it's cold in the car. Maybe it's depending on the climate where you live. Maybe it's hot in the car, depending on the season. Maybe you're just afraid of it being stolen, so you can take it with you. You walk in this coffee shop. Could be like a Starbucks, maybe. I don't know if do Starbucks have music? I haven't seen too much of that. But maybe it's a local coffee shop that's hip and has a open mic night. And the person on the guitar, maybe they're the host of the open mic night. They're doing a set by themselves, which often happens. And they see that you have a fiddle. Oh my God, I love the fiddle. You got to bring your fiddle up here and play. And they badger you a little bit. Come on, bring that fiddle up here. And what do you do? So this classically trained person doesn't know what to do. They immediately go to their default, oh, I don't have the music in front of me. Or, I don't know what to play. Or maybe they've learned a piece just for this kind of occasion, and the host doesn't know it. What do you do? Did you just kind of shrink in this week? Oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not prepared. No, it's all right. I'm a professional. You hide behind some kind of pseudo, a little bit of, you go, I can't do this. No, thank you, you might say politely. Enough times where they finally give up. But then you feel inside yourself like, huh, I blew it. I love playing music, and this is what it's supposed to be all about. I should be able to play anytime, anywhere, or something, and feel the joy of music and give the joy to others. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that why I became a professional violinist? Isn't that why I practiced so long and hard, my 10,000 hours, and now maybe have a job in the symphony? I'm a busy, you know, private studio teacher, or, you know, whatever your thing is. It's like you secretly are really bummed that you didn't step up when you had an opportunity. So how could I help that person? Well, one way is to teach you the ropes. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know anything except a few simple scales, which you probably already know, and learn how to apply them to most anything. Apply the music theory you may already know by ear. You probably have a good ear. You definitely have the skills. So what are the things that you need? Well, one, if the person's playing guitar, you need to be able to hear the chords they're playing and quickly know what key they're in. How do you do that? There's a few simple techniques. One technique is visual. Just learn guitar yourself and know the chords. It wouldn't take more than a few days for someone with violin skills to be able to play a guitar and strum a half a dozen or 10 chords, chord shapes I can teach you here on the site. So a little side note to this little problem-solving course would be learning how to play the guitar. Maybe learn how to play the bass and really get keyed into hearing the bass note, training that part of your brain. As a violinist, maybe you don't really think of the fundamental of each chord. That's important. Myself, I did a lot of gigs as a separate set of 10,000 hours, and way more than that, as a bass player. Totally enamored with Jaco Pastorius in my late teens into the 20s, especially. So I have a lot of experience as a bass player and really enjoy the bass and feeling the bass and knowing the root note and be able to hear ahead of time what bass line is coming and what I should play. I applied that to my violin playing and my improvisation skills. So how do I, as a bass teacher, give you the skills to be able to hear bass notes and the fundamental of each chord? Whether it's feeling it from the left hand of a pianist, or actually sitting with a band with a bass player. You can look at their hands, you can hear it, you can feel it. How do you feel the chords? Most songs in the world of pop and folk music and simple music that's not classically oriented are three chords. You may know the tonic, subdominant, and dominant chords. That's all the three you need to know, pretty much. Maybe a two chord, maybe a six chord. And how do you find those by ear? If your ear isn't real sharp, just follow the bass. Hear the tonic. So, and find that quickly on your fiddle. So I could solve that problem. What else do you do? If you know the key, just follow along. The guitar players say, oh, just sit in. It's easy. It might be. It's just in the key of A. You know the A, key of A in your sleep. Probably literally. And you just need some improv experience, being encouraged gently by me to know that it's okay to play anything and trust your inner gut. I can solve this problem and open that door for any classically trained player who is improv phobic. Also, know a little about the gear. How do you sit in? Do you play on a microphone? Do you have a pickup handy on your fiddle? Do you put it? Will it damage your pickup? Will it harm your pickup? Will it harm your fiddle, rather? How do you EQ it? What are the ins and outs of being able to sit in a coffee house quickly on somebody else's gear and make it sound not screechy, not nasally, and not feedback? I can teach all these things. Another addendum might be that the person would need to have a few fiddle tunes in mind that they could easily sit in with this with the other person. Now, maybe the host of this imaginary coffee house open mic is a very experienced musician. Maybe not. If they are experienced, you can just say, follow me. And maybe shout out the three chords to them as we go. It's a little distracting, the performance, I find. You know, it's possible. It takes a lot more experience, though, to actually, you know, play your best and also tell the rest of the band what the chords are at the same time. It's possible. I can do it, but it's never my best performance. So maybe learn a few very, very common tunes that everyone should know or something. Or one of my go-tos is Cotton Eye Joe, which is a one-chord song at its essence. It's a one-chord song. Using the key of A, and the person can strum nothing but the A chord the whole time through while you play. You can tell them to be creative with their rhythms a little bit or something to make it not be just boring. And get a hootenanny going on and get people clapping. So that's one thing. Are there any other tunes like this? Maybe we could think of a few very, very, very simple chords. Like chord foundation songs. You could have those in your back pocket, just in case. Or maybe you could keep a little chart in your case of the Fiddle Jam greatest hits. Here's a few easy charts. Can you read the chords? You know, and tell them. And put it down in front of them. There's another way to go. Maybe know something that's in the jazz vein that you could show off a little bit, like super easy minor swing. Have a chord chart ready. Have it on your phone. Get iReal Pro. Have that ready at all times for someone to follow along. With all these things, you'd be able to surely get your feet wet, get in the door, give people in the coffee shop some joy. Everybody loves a fiddle. I don't get it. I play some instruments that are pretty cool. You know, I've invented the quatar, the fretless piccolo bass, as they call it in the jazz world. I think that's nobody in the world I've ever heard do that. I think it's pretty cool. It's a beautiful voice. But nobody cares in general. As soon as I bring out the fiddle, it's all people want to hear. Fiddle, fiddle, fiddle. Oh, yeah, they're just shouting for Devil Went to Georgia or Orange Blossom Special. Or So learn those couple songs. Have them ready, just in case that guitar player who's hosting the thing, the coffee house, knows those. Devil Went to Georgia is tough to just sit in a jam. They have to know that song. Also, I teach that song here in the site. So that's one scenario. How do I fix it for the skilled classical player who wants to be able to loosen up and jam? Another addendum I could have is how to go beyond just sitting in the coffee house and play a little more heavy-duty gig with a blues band or a rock band even. People love that shit, as I should say. People love it. It's not shit. It's, love that stuff. People love that stuff. That would be a nice little mini course I could give and a problem I could solve. I think I should do that as a pinpointed, specific target market. What's another problem I could solve? Another scenario. This would be a separate product or separate approach or separate marketing. Another one would be how to sit in at a picking party if you don't know the songs. Clearly a lot of the same steps. You meet some folks at a bluegrass thing and they say, oh, come bring a fiddle down and play. It could be on the back porch. It could be at a music store on their day off. Could be at a, you know, monthly picket party where they have, you know, fires going on and different people jamming in different places. God, I could describe how those things work in my experience. And all the ins and outs of how to do it. How to play by ear, how to hear the chord changes, how to see the chord changes in the guitarist's fingers. And go from there. Another scenario would be, like I mentioned in the classically trained one, how to sit in with a rock or blues band. This would be more gear oriented. Try the pickup, where to stand, what to do, the etiquette of how to get ass back, how to sound good, how to play with distortion would probably be a good one for that, whether to use effects or not, and whether to take them along, have them in your case or in your bag, ready to go, how to plug into their PA and not sound screechy. A lot of these same things. I could pre-record the elements of these and repurpose them in each one as the smaller, shorter lessons. Or not, I can do them fresh and new with this particular take on each one. Are there any other scenarios I should ask you? What scenario and what problems might you want me to solve? Maybe how to get over stage fright. You know, it's terrifying for that classical violinist to get up on stage in front of even 20 people and know that they could fail and sound horrible to their high expectations. Maybe I should involve EFT so they could tap away their emotional worries. Maybe. I know how to do EFT. Maybe I could apply it to stage fright. It'd probably be a good exercise. I might have a whole different career there. Maybe. What do you think? I know I've talked in the Fiddle Jam book about the three stages of stage fright. Fear and terror, humor, and service. I could run people through that. And with tapping, with meditation. Might be a whole product right there. I'm sure that's pretty basic to music performance for any instrument. Maybe that's one of my niches, as I discover this for myself. What other problems could I solve? How to play in front of 40,000 people and not be afraid? Well, let me tell you, if you're already confident in front of 20 people, already confident in front of 100 people, already confident in front of 1,000 people, it's no different once you get past 400 or 500. It's all on your mindset. How to be not afraid of playing in front of your mother or your best friends or someone who's a professional. I've told many stories about I was thrilled to know that my co-Buffalonian, Billy Sheehan, told in an interview one time that, you know, he's played in front of 80,000 people at once in stadiums and stuff with David Lee Roth and Mr. Big and, you know, all over the world. He's like Elvis over in Japan, I'm told. He's a superstar over there. And you wouldn't think he would be fazed by anything. He's played at Crossroads, Eric Clapton, all these different huge stages. And I know from his history in Buffalo that he played probably, you know, 10,000 gigs, if not more, in his life. And yet, he said in this interview that one of his idols, Chick Corea, was at one of his gigs, and he was a nervous wreck. How does that happen? So any one person can get thrown off by any one person. And it could be anyone. It doesn't have to be a super famous other musician. It could be, you know, like I said, your mother. Oh my God, I gotta do good. My mom's here. She hasn't heard me play in about 8 months. I gotta show her my new stuff. She'll be so proud. Once you think that way, it's kind of like all over because you're self-conscious. You're putting expectations on yourself that you have to do good now. So therefore, of course, the chances of you not doing good are greater. It could be your friend Susie. Oh, I want to do good for Susie. I respect, she's been my confidant, and I know she kind of has supported me and follows me, and I'm doing this new thing tonight, and I really want to do good for her. Well, in general, when you're a creative person and you're jamming, improvising on the spot, as soon as you have those expectations, it's all over. You never play as good as you could. And anyone, including me, can fall prey to that. In the past year, I fell prey to it once. Which was rare. My nephew and the producer of my Conflation album, Daryl Nutz fell into some health problems with a blood clot in his leg and could not play the drums anymore. And this is a professional musician who sits for a living. He's a recording engineer and sits in the studio and sits behind the drums, and he couldn't do any of that. So he wasn't working at all, and blood clots are, you know, pretty serious stuff. Can be. They can kill you. And so his friends in the Fort Myers area decided to do a benefit for him. Very nice. It's cool that he has a support group. And I thought, oh, I should go down to my nephew's benefit, of course, and show good faith and go and probably play. Now, the conflation of that we did, I haven't done anything live with it, so I thought, oh, this is a good chance for me to play the tracks. Let's try that. So I took a few of the tracks from the album minus violin and decided, okay, I'll just get up there. I'm the Uncle Jeff, and I'll just get up and play the tracks. Well, it turned out that the Fort Myers area has a lot of high caliber players, top pro players that happen to live there. The guys from AC/DC live there. The guy that was saxophone player in Saturday Night Live lives there. The percussionist from Peter Gabriel's band was there. He performed. The guy that is the musical director for Aaron Neville is in the band there playing with my nephew. He's got a lot of high-powered, great friends. And these guys were all killing it on stage. Super talented people. I was very impressed with the scene there. And who would have thunk Fort Myers was some kind of mecca for great players? People play, you know, 5-6 nights a week, just like we used to in Buffalo there. They really can make a living, and it's a good community. Anyways, I felt a little intimidated. It's like, oh, man, I don't have a slamming band behind me that I'm used to. Yeah, I'm used to having a great band. I'm very blessed that way. And I'm going to get up with these kind of lame tracks. I don't feel very prepared, you know. I knew I could play. I wasn't nervous about playing, but I was a little nervous about whether I was going to be up to snuff for the quality of the night that was going on. And I got up and did my thing. It was okay, but it wasn't great. Why? Because I wasn't in the state of mind that I normally am used to being, where you're not thinking, you're unthinking, you're in the creative zone. I was chitter-chattering in my head. I played okay. I know I did, but it wasn't to the depth of greatness that I am used to. Screech on the brakes there, Perry. Hang on a second. I should cut in here. I'll edit this in. I know, as I was listening back to what I just said, that my wife would definitely take issue with what I just said about greatness. She hates it when I say anything about greatness and thinks it's just a bunch of ego crap. I have difference with her on that, but let me explain. If I'm saying I'm used to greatness, does that mean I'm saying I'm great and better than others? Absolutely not. Do not get thrown off by that. What I am saying, and I've covered in many of my Fiddle Jam lessons and materials throughout the site and all the things I've done on the web, is that everyone has the option for greatness in them. Now, does this mean technical greatness? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Of course you can achieve technical greatness. That has nothing to do with being creative. Greatness, in my little addendum here, is only, in my opinion, when you are tapped in, turned on, tuned in to the inner voice in your head that is telling you exactly what to play ahead of time. That's it. Even if it's just playing one note over and over, like Neil Young has done, and like Cinnamon Girl, that's a tune and solo in Cinnamon Girl I noticed the other day. It doesn't matter how simple, how dumb, how silly, how corny, it doesn't matter anything. Greatness is when you're exactly following what you're hearing ahead of time in your head and doing that and that only with a vengeance. You can only do this well when you are not thinking about things too hard. Like this thinking mind, the rational left brain thinking mind, is kind of turned down, and the right brain, the emotive part of your brain, is completely listening and being a servant to the future ideas that are coming to you between 3 and 10 seconds ahead of time if you're nice and relaxed and not thinking too hard. That is greatness. And I am blessed to be able to feel that and be in that state most of the time when I play. 100% of the time? No, I don't think anybody's there 100% of the time. But the bar has raised for me over the years. On a bad day, it might be in the upper 70s as far as percentiles. And on a good day, it might be in the high 90s. A couple times in my life, I've been at the 100% mark, and it's been like a blissful state. It's been an altered reality kind of thing. It's pretty cool. Things just flow out of you. It never lasts for long. You go, wow, that was really good. Of course, as soon as you say that, you're out of it. So it's like a zen state of mind. But the more experience I get after the 50 years of playing and focusing on that quality of what I believe now is true greatness, which has nothing to do with your technical prowess or your knowledge or theoretical knowledge, anything like that. It's only being tapped into what your inner ideas are and just playing those, totally committed to that. That's what greatness is. I'm sorry to my wife that she would have difference with that, but it's great to be have somebody checked, even if it's only in my own brain. I didn't play this for her yet, but I know that she'd say something, what? Get rid of that ego, Perry, she'd say. Bless her. Anyways, I thought I should fix that before we get back to the rest of the truck talk. Hope you understand. I played okay, I know I did, but it wasn't to the depth of greatness that I am used to, because I was thinking about it way too much. I was thinking, oh man, I don't really like this vibe playing to tracks. It kind of sucks playing alone. You know, I realized even playing with one other person is it really helps. There's the buzz and the vibe. I was very thankful in the third song. My nephew must have felt my pain. And he came up and stood behind a set of conga drums and played a little bit with the third track. Not sitting on drums or anything, but I played rat-a-tat-tat. And what a difference. And that third song, it's just having that vibe of another person. There's something metaphysical that happens when you're playing music with other people. It's like in the Bible when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. Well, maybe that I am there, I am thing is part of all of us. That's another thing I could talk about, I guess. It was a good lesson to learn. There is a difference when someone two play music together. There's a difference. There is. So, even I fell prey to not being nervous, but being not on my game. You know, my game is being unthinking and jamming. So, everybody can have a situation where they fall out of favor with the Lord or the vibe or the universe or their creative own creative thinking. So, I understand. Even at my levels, and I can help people with this. That's a problem. So I know this is getting a bit long-winded, but I love getting going on these things, and I hope it's a benefit to you guys. Maybe you can, really comment on this one and give me some ideas of what your problems are, and I could do a lesson or a course, mini course, on your specific type of problem. What makes you afraid? What throws you off your game? What are you terrified to do? What do you just super desire to want to do? What situation would you love to imagine yourself being comfortable with and knowing the skills you need and having the experience to be able to sit in that particular situation? I'd love to hear it. Please let me know. I will address your problem specifically to the best of my abilities. I thank you for listening to this. I am getting benefit from this too. This is cathartic for myself as well. I need to be able to help. I need to be able to know that I'm using my skills and all this experience I have for good in the world. And it helps. If I help you, it'll help me too. So I thank you ahead of time for leaving your comments and sending me your ideas and your questions. All right, I guess this turned into another truck talk after all. I wasn't sure when I started off I was just going to be talking to myself for a to-do list, but here we are. Let me know. Let me know what you think. All right, love you guys, and I'm honored to be a part of your moment here. Amen.